Welcome to the Lead Courageously podcast, the podcast series in which we explore leadership culture in the context of health and social care. As one of our five ambitions for the future of health and care, this series explores the role of courageous, collective, and compassionate approaches to leadership, with a more in-depth focus on how systems can better accommodate collective leadership culture for the benefit of everyone. Our guest today is Anna Fowley, CEO of SCVO, the Scottish Council for Voluntary Organisations. Anna is a highly experienced leader, dedicated to leading with dignity, fairness and respect, and was previously the CEO of the Scottish Social Services Council before taking on her current role. In this episode, we discuss what it means to lead courageously from within the third sector, whilst exploring the ways in which systems can emphasise trust, collaboration and collectivity in empowering everyone to become a leader. So, Anna, thank you so much for being here today. Can I start by asking, what does leading courageously mean to you?
Well, I have been thinking about this since you invited me. And actually, I think it's interesting because it's not something you're particularly conscious of. And I think the other thing about it is you can look really courageous on the outside, but not actually be feeling that courageous on the inside. But there's also, it's not necessarily a good thing. So if you think about, one of my colleagues was saying to me when we were talking about this, that Elon Musk is quite a courageous leader. I don't know if we'd all think of him as an icon of great leadership. So I suppose it's what you do with that, what you do, how you kind of tap into that courage, and how what you do with it is the really important thing. So I suppose for me, it's about feel the fear and do it anyway, as the book says, and kind of think about what you want to achieve and make that the most important thing. What do you want to achieve? And in a leadership of an organisation context, it's about what you want to achieve for your organisation and what that means you need to do, rather than it being about what you want to achieve for yourself. Do you know what I mean? So it's for your organisation, for your cause, whatever it is. How do you tap into all your inner kind of strengths and skills, suppress the fear and get on with it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. That's interesting. And can you tell us a bit about your role at SCVO, what it involves, and what the Essential Sector Campaign is all about?
Yep. So SCVO is Scottish Council for Voluntary Organisations. We've been around, this is our 80th year. We've been around for a long time. It's an interesting organisation, probably quite unique in many ways, in that we are a membership body. We have nearly 4,000 members from across the voluntary sector. But we also do lots of things to represent the sector as a whole, and that's part of our kind of remit. So we've got to balance that membership versus sector as a whole thing all the time. We do lots of influencing work, which will be very public and people will see. We do that sometimes with organisations like the Alliance, for example, but depending on the subject. But we also deliver loads of services. So probably about 80% of what we do is delivering services. We do payroll for 500 organisations. We provide HR services for 100 organisations, and that's growing. We offer workspace for other colleagues across the sector. So we run the charity awards, we run the gathering, which is the biggest free event for the sector in the UK, and attracts like 3,000 people. So we do like so many different things. And when I started about nearly six years ago now, when I first came in, I thought, God, I do far too many things. How do we kind of hone that down and try and make it a bit more focused? And then I went and met people across the country. I spent about 6 months probably going out to different places all over, from Shetland to Dumfries. And actually, there was nothing that nobody valued. So not everybody valued everything, but everything was valuable to somebody. So I decided we just need to embrace that and enjoy it. And my kind of feeling was that at that point, we were kind of like a shopping mall where we had lots of different little pockets all doing their own thing, whereas actually what we wanted to be is more like John Lewis. So you've got lots of things within the same store or within the same place, but with the same values and the same ethos and all working to the same aim. So that was kind of my mental thought, you know, my image that I had in my mind of where we needed to get to. So what I do in my role is kind of try and lead that, shape the culture, be really mindful of the reputation of the organisation and what we need to do to maintain, grow all that, the reputation of the organisation, and how you make that all hang together in terms of being financially viable, like the stuff, the real nuts and bolts, basic things about how have we got enough money? No, we haven't. So what do we do about that? And have we got the right people? Have we got, you know, all? So it's basically keeping an eye. I'm not doing all of those things. I'm making sure that all those things are happening.
And in our most recent Leader Agency case study, we highlighted the Burtsorg model of care, which is a third sector example of an organisation yep. operating under a flat, non-hierarchical structure, yep. Which just allows for more personalised, trusting relationships between yep. the nurse and the people they care for. So with around 70% of health and social care services being provided by the third and independent sectors, what does the essential sector campaign mean in the context of health and social care?
Yeah, and I didn't get to that part when I was doing my answer to your last question. Apologies. So one, I'm very familiar with the Burtsorg model because of my previous role, which was as a leader in the social services world. And I really like it. I think it's really good. I think it needs a proper culture for it to be delivered, and it does happen. But in terms of the essential sector, what we were trying to demonstrate really, is that the sector, the voluntary sector, which is charities, social enterprises, community organisations, is present in every single part of Scottish society and its economy. So whether it's transport, whether it's, you know, environment, whether it's heritage, whether it's sport, whether it's health and social care, is a massive chunk of the sector, especially in the employed part, because if you think about 3/4 of the sector doesn't actually employ anybody, it's all volunteer run and led. But health and social care particularly, would be the big chunk of the employed part, and Scotland's society and public services and economy wouldn't work without it. So that's what we were trying to demonstrate with that. The other element of it, which is slightly less related to this topic, but is we were trying to build capacity within the sector. So lots of organisations, and we've done it ourselves, will make lots of films about organisations or people and lovely volunteers doing fabulous things and use it for their own end. What we wanted to do was build the skills in those organisations and those people within those organisations so they could keep doing that themselves. So we do have lots of really great films, but we also now have people in 10 different organisations with the skills to continue to do that and to use it for fundraising, for public engagement, for whatever they want to do, anything. So that for me was really important, to be less extractive and more capacity building. And I think from a health and social care perspective, what I have always liked, whichever hat I've been wearing, is the fact that the voluntary sector element is one, it comes top of the quality ranks in the care inspector information always, and two, it's about providing really excellent services, but nobody's making a profit out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important. That's the sort of beauty of the third sector, isn't it? And I think what we mean when we talk about leadership culture in this series is we're referring to the beliefs and values of a system. So essentially a community working towards a shared purpose based on trust and empowerment. So in your view, how can systems better accommodate collective and compassionate leadership culture more generally across the sectors? And are there any exemplary, well, I know there is, but can you elaborate on any exemplary courageous leaders from within the third sector?
Yeah, so I'm reluctant to pick out particular people. However, I'll just think about what you said there about systems. So systems don't exist without people. And it's that kind of, but we all feel constrained by the system, and yet we are the system. So it's how do we kind of like get to grips with our own role in that system and the part that we play, and use the personal qualities that we have and the personal connections that we make to then change the system, improve the system, whatever. So I feel quite passionately about that, and that's why I'm involved in work around accountability and incentives for delivering the National Performance Framework. So how do you get the leaders across public services to feel that they are actually delivering the national outcomes? And at the moment, most chief execs or directors or whatever feel they're delivering a function, and an activity or a statutory function, where if you're in the public sector, your charitable purpose for us, rather than thinking, what are we doing to contribute to making Scotland that place that we want it to be? No one asks you about that. They ask you about, is your budget on schedule? Is that building going to be completed in time? Why have you got so many vacancies? That's what they ask you about. But actually, how are we making children feel loved? How are we making Scotland the best place to grow old? How are we doing those things? And what are you contributing personally to that? So I think there's something about accountability within the system that needs to improve. But there's also something about leaders being brave enough, courageous enough to actually say, yeah, I might be asked about that. This is what my auditors want to know. This is what ex-parliamentary committee wants to know. This is what my board wants to know. However, what I know makes things better is we're going to do this. And just take that, you know. John Swinney used to talk about proceed until apprehended, which was, you know, all very well for him to say when you had somebody from Scottish Government breathing down your neck about what you spent your money on. But there's something about just going, I know this is the right thing. I know this is the right thing. And holding true to that. And finding allies. I think it's really important to find allies.
I think that is.
So I think that's the thing about that work I was talking about for the Scottish Leaders Forum, where actually you've got allies in unexpected places. Big ally in this, so a colleague in Audit Scotland, big ally, somebody in Registers of Scotland, somebody in the Scottish Parliament. So you've got people across the system who want to do the right thing, get it together.
And it's often the case that the third sector is highly influential, leading the way in pushing societal change as well. And that's the beauty of it, I suppose, in that it's without arbitrary or bureaucratic restraints. But as you know, most people know, it's all too often overlooked as an equal partner in key negotiations relating to these issues. So what are some of the ways in which systems can better accommodate the sector moving forward, especially in regards to its leadership qualities and attributes, in order to improve this?
I think there's some, well, that's partly what the essential sector is about, is that kind of demonstrating. And we've got lots of work on visibility of the sector and its role in the economy. So you have to think about what are the levers with the people that you're trying to influence. And actually, for some people, there's 135,000 jobs in this sector. That's a major thing. We contribute £8 billion to the economy every year. That's a big thing. And for some people, if you're running, you know, a village hall in Ballyhoolish, you're probably not that bothered about that. But if you're Scottish Enterprise, you do care about that, and you might pay attention. So there's something about finding who you want to make that point to, and making sure your message absolutely fits their needs. And that's not because we're really good in the sector about just being right about things. And we know that we are right because this is our thing, and we're an expert, and actually that's fine. And we do have massive expertise that isn't available in other places. But sometimes you need to just land the message in the way that's going to be received properly, rather than the way you want to tell it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, as a courageous leader yourself, what are some of the success stories from your time in the role that you can share with us? How did you go about achieving them? What was the outcome, and why are you proud of them?
Quite interesting, isn't that? Because you start that with that, as a courageous leader yourself. And honestly, I'm so not courageous. I can behave in a courageous way, but my tummy's going all the time. So there is that kind of, as I said at the very start, believe in that kind of, you know, even if you're not really, you're playing the part really well, so play the part really well. I think coming into an organization that has been around for so long, has had a really good reputation but had ups and downs, was really having to look at the structure of the organization. It was really top heavy. It was, as I said, it was more like a shopping mall than John Lewis. So how do we kind of get that feeling of collectivity rather than competition, and really kind of holding true when lots of people are saying, especially senior positions, are saying, oh, but we've always done that. Oh, but you don't really understand because you've not worked in the voluntary sector before. Oh, well, that's just how we do things here. So really trying to kind of get past that and remember why you're doing it. Remember it's about the organisation, and therefore it's about the sector that we serve. What we're here for is to make the world a better place for voluntary organisations across Scotland, whether that's the National Trust or whether it's the village hall in Ballyhoolish. You know, that's what we're here for. So remembering that these decisions I'm making, they don't control all of that, but it has an influence. So holding on to that cause and that reason why you do what you do and why you wanted to do what you do. So partly why I wanted this job was because I'd been a chief exec for 9 years in an organisation that was fine. And I'd learned all the kind of tools of my trade, as it were. I wanted to come to an organisation where I could really make a difference before my one last big job before I retire, kind of thing. That was my, and I still feel that. This is, I just love it. I absolutely love it. And it's that liberation from the public sector constraints, not having to think, I've never worked in the private sector, but not having to kind of make profit for somebody and absolutely be driven by purpose. And so when you're doing something, my example is restructuring the organisation. But to do that and to deal with some of the real personal pain that can cause people, you have to hold on to the overall purpose and think this is, it is painful for some of the people involved. However, it's the right thing in the long term, and really holding on to that organisational purpose. I think that's what I have to do. My other one is not about here though. It's in my previous role. So I was a regulator for social workers and social care workers. And there was a massive myth going around about how the regulator would stop social workers or residential care workers cuddling children. And there's absolutely not a chance as a regulator I was going to be stopping people cuddling children. And there's all sorts of assumptions about what cuddles actually are there. So I wrote an article and got it published in various professional journals about how actually I'd be really worried if you weren't cuddling children if they're in distress. And I went to an event, a Who Cares event with children in care, and they all came up and cuddled me because I was the lady that had said it was okay for their social worker to cuddle them. And that was quite brave because there's all, everyone goes, oh, what about abuse? But actually, it was the right thing to do, and it was the right thing for those people. So that was ages ago now. It might seem like a minor thing, but it's something that I'm actually really proud of.
Wow, that's very insightful and very interesting. Thank you so much, Anna. If you enjoyed this, you can find all Alliance Live podcasts on all major podcast streaming services, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. Alliance Live also produce webinars, video interviews, and case studies. Watch these by visiting www.alliance-scotland.org.uk/live. To follow along regularly with Alliance Live content, use the hashtag Alliance Live on X.